Again, for a free consultation, call us at 855-346-1788. That's 855-346-1788.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second half hour, hour number two, here on this Hump Day Wednesday, July 22nd, 2026 edition. With 2 weeks left before the August 4th primary, as of yesterday, nearly 40% of expected voters have already filled out a ballot, including some that are still in the mail or received but not yet processed by the local clerks. This is a projection. This is not facts. Presented by Mark Grubner of Practical Political Data yesterday afternoon. According to a report from the Bureau of Elections, came out stating that 572,553 voters have already cast ballots that have been received by their local clerks. But Grubner said that the number likely doesn't include what clerks received in the mail yesterday or the number of ballots that are somewhere between a mailbox and the postal carrier. As someone who follows such things, Grubner estimates about 200,000 new completed absentee ballots flow into clerks' offices a week, as these numbers will increase as Election Day draws closer. Grubner estimates around 2.2 million Michigan residents will cast ballots in the August 4th election. For example, back in 2022, the previous midterm election, just 4 years ago, the final raw numbers was 2,037,655 voters voted in that gubernatorial primary election. The first term for Governor Gretchen Whitmer's race, her race against Bill Schuette, 2018, the number was higher. 2,127,998. However, back in 2014, 12 years ago, the number was about half that amount, 1,130,983. However, there were no contested races at the top of the ticket for either party. Going back even further, Rick Snyder's campaign, it was contested. There were other candidates running against him. 1,577,206. Now, one thing I want to stop on this story right here and mention. One of our candidates that are on the ballot for August 4th primary is former Attorney General gubernatorial candidate Mike Cox. According to these numbers, if in fact it's true, 40% of the voters have actually voted already, some of you may have voted for Mike Cox. Well, he's no longer in the race. So what you can do today, tomorrow, and Friday, up until 5 o'clock on Friday, you can go to your local clerk, your township, city, village clerk, wherever you vote, and ask for your ballot back that you want to spoil it. You voted for Mike Cox. He's no longer in the race. He dropped out. Perhaps you want to vote for Perry Johnson. Go to your local clerk and ask for your ballot to be spoiled. The deadline to do so is this Friday, July 24th, by 5 o'clock. If you do that, you'll get another ballot and then can cast your vote again for Perry Johnson or John James. Because your vote for Perry Johnson, John James are the only two viable candidates still running. If, in fact, you voted for Mike Cox, you can fix it. You got time to fix it. So just put that out there. Again, this is not your county clerk. You have to go to your township, city, village clerk where you vote and ask for your ballot back. You want to spoil it and be able to re-vote again for the only two remaining viable candidates, John James or Perry Johnson. Now, continuing back with this story from MERS News Service, the slight uptick was coming during the 2022 midterm election when the constitutional amendments were on the ballot. Voters, not politicians, determining the maps for our congressional and statewide offices, state offices. Also, the fact that we then did another constitutional amendment called Promote the Vote, where people could, in fact, register the same day of the election. No reason absentee voting, and even 9 days of early voting. And then, of course, term limits being expanded. 12 years of service, either in the House or the Senate or any combination thereof, that was all on the ballot and drove larger turnout numbers. Well, when you compare the numbers, mailing out ballots is a pretty good get-out-the-vote technique, according to Grubner. But based on what he's seen, Grubner projects that of the people whose votes are returned to the clerk's offices, 57% participate in the Democratic primary. Only 43% of the Republicans do. Folks, you have got to make sure that these numbers change this year. We need as many Republicans voting in this Republican primary as the Democrats. So we need to get out the vote for August 4th. Now, early voting, not talking absentee, but what I'm talking about is in-person voting. Early voting sites will open this Saturday, July 25th. And will remain open at least 8 hours every day through Sunday, August 2nd. Monday, August 3rd, the day before Election Day, no more early voting. You then have to vote on Election Day, August 4th. And I believe that most counties have chosen one township, city, or village to be available for early voting for your entire county. Some of them may have two locations. The bigger counties might have three or four, but you have to find out. Your polling place may not be open starting this Saturday. You may have to go to another township to vote. But all you have to do is call your local clerk and say, are we voting at our location or do we have to go somewhere else? The clerks will then be able to tell you. But it starts this Saturday, July 25th. And the polling places will be open for 8 hours. I believe most of them are going 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. But you have to verify that. Call your local clerk. and find out. Now, the next short little story I'm going to get into real quick has to do with the new tax credits, bans on corporations buying homes, and passing some new housing laws. Also, Governor Gretchen Whitmer signed the omnibus and school budget yesterday. You know what? Let's do the budget one first. Governor Gretchen Whitmer signed the fiscal year 2027 general fund budget in her office yesterday afternoon without any ceremony. Also, in her press release, the governor did not put a total price tag on it, as it faces scrutiny from reporters and researchers. In Grand Rapids, while signing the school aid fund budget, Whitmer avoided questions about an upcoming budget analysis that's coming from the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. It has pointed out that the fiscal year 27 budget is actually anywhere from $600 to $900 million under what is truly needed. News articles that have found federal funding stuffed into a boilerplate language bumps the Republican numbers previously announced by Speaker Matt Hall of $75.2 billion to actually bumping it to $86.4 billion. Well, to avoid the questions, Governor Whitman responded by saying, "We have a balanced budget. I'm proud of this budget. We had to make a lot of hard decisions." She then immediately shifted the cost of House Resolution 1 for the administrative costs to the states for the SNAP program, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, as well as Medicaid, because now we have a lot more work to do in finding out if people are eligible for these benefits. We were able to mitigate the brunt of the work because of negotiations, and I think that a yielded budget that really reflects what we need to do in Michigan to take care of our people and to keep money in their pockets and to get ahead is what we did, said Governor Gretchen Whitmer. We'll wrap this story up. Final segment of hour number two. We'll be right back.
After avoiding debates for months, John James just made it clear why. When questioned by Perry Johnson about his support for the reviled killswitch mandate and being funded by data center developers, Don James strangely replied,
"I know when you were born, black people could still be bought and sold in this country, but no one owns me."
Huh? John James went right to the Democrat strategy of playing the race card. John James is no conservative. He's a lying liberal. Don James as governor? Terrifying thought. Perry Johnson is our conservative choice. Non-politician, real Republican, really smart. Helps save the American automobile industry and can apply the same skills to get Michigan back on track. Perry Johnson from Michigan.
I'm Perry Johnson, and I approve this message. Paid for by Perry Johnson for Governor.
Hear ye, citizens of Northern Michigan. Your Royal Chariot deserves the finest care. From Noble New Tires to auto repairs, Royal Tire has decreed smoother travels for all.
Alas, my trusty steed hath a flat.
And terrible brakes.
Fear not, fair knight. At Royal Tire of Petoskey, we fix flats, tame brakes, quell noisy exhausts, and keep your kingdom, car, roadworthy. All at prices that won't raid your royal treasury. Royal Tire and Auto Repair of Petoskey, where every driver is treated like royalty.
The W Tax Group fights your IRS and state tax problems. With experienced tax attorneys and a dedicated legal team, we represent clients in all 50 states. We resolve tax liens, wage garnishments, back taxes, and reduce tax liabilities for businesses and individuals. We secured over $10 million in tax debt relief for clients every year. Call the W Tax Group today and get experienced nationwide tax resolution on your side. Call us at 855-346-1788. Again, 855-346-1788.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
If you have pain in your neck, back, shoulders, elbows, wrists, hands, hips, knees, or feet, Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic deep tissue laser treatment for you. This technology relieves pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience fast robotic deep tissue laser pain relief at a special price. Call us Monday through Wednesday to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. Just to wrap up this budget announcement by Governor Gretchen Whitmer, signing the omnibus large general fund budget along with the school aid fund budget, Governor Gretchen Whitmer said, we were able to mitigate, negotiate, and pass a budget that really reflects what we need to do in Michigan to take care of people and to keep money in their pockets and help them get ahead, said Governor Gretchen Whitmer. With this being her last budget, she said she was happy to get the funding to increase the administrative costs for both the SNAP and Medicaid program. The necessary funding needed to cover the staffing and implementing H.R. 1, known as the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. More workers are needed to process eligibility requirements to qualify for the SNAP program as well as Medicaid. Press release mentioned that $2.7 billion in Medicaid services spending that was not in the budget numbers will be added from the boilerplate funding. Governor Whitmer said, at a time when Michiganders are struggling with higher costs, this budget puts money in their pockets. She said it also cuts taxes, fixes the roads, and creates jobs through investments. House Speaker Matt Hall said, we delivered a budget last year that included new historic transparency. We rooted out thousands of ghost employees, and we spent less than last year's budget by eliminating billions of dollars in waste, fraud, and abuse. And again, we did it this year. Hall went on to say, the budget deal moves money from waste and puts it directly into the roads, schools, and public safety. This plan delivers value for Michigan taxpayers, and I'm glad we were able to get it done together, said the speaker, who was there with the governor when she signed it at a school in Grand Rapids. Meanwhile, Senate Majority Leader Winnie Brinks said, it protects food benefits, health care, and even invests in affordable housing. While each budget cycle during my time as majority leader has posed its own set of unique circumstances and challenges, the Senate Democrats' majority have remained dedicated to the same priorities since day one: delivering opportunity, equity, and real relief for the hard-working people of the state of Michigan, said Brinks. Well, tying into part of the budget is some bills that ban corporations from buying single-family residential homes, as well as some new housing laws. Statewide building codes and a ban on large corporations and investment funds purchasing single-family homes in House Bill 6074 were highlights of six bills that Governor Gretchen Whitmer signed into law yesterday in hopes of improving Michigan's housing market. New, smaller-scale apartments would need only one entrance under House Bill 5570 and 5571. Another $100 million tax credit for affordable housing developers was signed into law as Senate Bill 966. And a separate low-income housing income tax credit was signed into law via House Bills 5806 and 5807. Governor Whitmer was joined at the signing by Senate Majority Leader Winnie Brinks, who said the new state housing bill signed today will perfect and complement the federal housing bills that also passed and would get more housing units built across the state. These specific bills are expected to bring over 2,500 new affordable homes to Michigan every year. Senate Majority Leader Brinks says that's 2,500 more families being able to go to sleep with a roof over their heads. The bills were signed as a direct result of bipartisan work being made in the legislature, and that it was something that would outlast the legislators who work on it. Bipartisan was joined by Senators Jeff Irwin, State Representative Joey Andrews, Parker Fairburn of Harbor Springs, Joseph Aragona of Clinton Township, Kristen Grant of Grand Rapids, Stephen Wooden of Grand Rapids, Carl Bonack of Negaunee. Long stalled in the House, became part of the budget process. So these bills signed with the budget bills will make a major, major improvement, but still have a long way to go. Governor said we needed 155,000 housing units at her State of the State address back in February. These bills only create 2,500. Final hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with trucker Randy Bishop.
The Iron Pig on Old 27 South across from Otsego Lake is open for breakfast 7 days a week from 8 to 11. Sundays from 8 to 2 with a sumptuous breakfast buffet on the weekends. With golf season open, Iron Pig has room for any size golf group, or bring our delicious menu and legendary barbecue to your group. Either way, the Iron Pig has the team and location to make your up north dining experience truly memorable. Visit Iron Pig Smokehouse on Facebook, where we are always announcing new events and menu additions.
I'm Justin Michael. For over 500 consecutive days, I've worked diligently to earn your respect by having difficult conversations in every town.